Two, three.
Who's the best show here?
Beck, Beck Show!
Who's the best show here?
Beck Show!
All right, that's good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
I am short.
Yeah, I got to put on my good sweatpants.
Bingo! Showtime!
When you were making egg poo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a limousine tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a link at that. But the stolen code back to DLMTS.org. And I see channels of Linux Tech.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, close together, just about to begin.
Yeah, welcome to episode 949. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Spring.
Yeah, we have Joel.
Hello.
We have Joe.
Hello.
We have me. And Joel, it's your birthday this weekend, right?
Monday.
Monday.
Happy birthday.
51.
And Alan's is Friday, yeah, right? Friday's the 1st?
I think so. I don't know.
April 1st. Poor on guy. Friday. I think he's on the air.
And he has two boys now, too.
Yeah. No, wait, what? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, April 1st. Kid.
No, I was looking at the wrong thing on the calendar. Yeah, April 1st is Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, he has two
boys. And fortunately for me, most of the shenanigans will be done by the time I actually get to look at a phone or computer.
So you're leaving on Friday, right?
Yeah, sometime Friday. It won't be as early as I'd like it because we have to get one of Luke's scripts filled, and it happens to be one of the things he's on that's a controlled substance. So we can only get it filled here, and he's going to not have enough to get through the whole trip. So we have to wait until we can get the script filled on Monday. Shouldn't take too long.
I thought you were supposed to leave on
Friday. Friday.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you were supposed to be there over the weekend.
Yeah, we are.
Wait, why can't they fill it tomorrow?
It's too soon.
Because it's a controlled substance. We have the same
problem. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it sucks. It really sucks because it's not one of those things where they'll let you let it slide and do it more early. I mean, you can try to call the insurance company, but they still won't let you fill it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
So yeah,
the only time
they've
made an exception is when my son was in Florida and we shipped him his pills, but his pills magically disappeared in transit. And they won't do that very often, because then if it happens more than a couple of times a year, they assume that you're trying to sell the stuff.
Right.
I can see that.
And it's not like I'm trying to think it's not, because he's on dextroamphetamine and Vyvanse, which is another one. I think that's the one he's running short on. And that one is too, because supposedly some idiot took it and it made them feel high.
No, well, it's Vyvanse. It's basically meth.
Right.
But if you, it reacts differently to people that don't have like ADHD.
Right.
But yeah, it's basically meth.
Yeah. One time when we were going through what I thought was counseling, and I ended up finding out that he was just looking at me, because both my wife and I would go, and we talked together at one point, but then, she would leave, and I continue to talk with the doctor, and then he's like, well, I want you to try this. And I'm like, all right. And I tried it for a while. Let me tell you, it did not help me focus whatsoever. So.
Yeah.
And we left that doctor.
Well, I assume you're not, a lighter person. I assume you weigh in the 250-plus range.
I
couldn't imagine the amount of Vyvanse you would have to take to have an actual impact on you.
It definitely made me feel different, but it actually made me feel more scattered instead of focused. So
right.
completely the opposite effect on me.
Well, then you don't have ADHD, and you were just taking meth.
Because I couldn't, I mean, it actually started to really affect my actual job performance, so I was just like, yeah, I can't do this. So, we'll leave as soon as we can get that filled, we'll see if, you know, we'll probably be a few hours before the true 48 hours. We'll see
if
it works.
That's just Vyvanse, man. Let him go days without it. See how he does.
No, I'm talking about
bouncing off the walls.
I bought an easy pass, and that's what I'm talking about. I just got it today, and according to Ohio, it's not supposed to be working until 48 hours. So I'm hopefully they're just wrong, and that's just what they tell people. Which sometimes happens.
Yeah, it probably means it could take up to 48 hours.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because it's going to save me, like it would be $80 round trip to go from New Stanton to, I think it goes to Carlisle.
The thing is, if it's, generally speaking, if you go through, like, the Easy Pass lane and
right.
Your license plate is registered to the Easy Pass, they'll just send you a bill in the mail.
Well, yeah.
If it doesn't register.
That's how the Pennsylvania Turnpike works at all of you, even if you don't have an Easy Pass, is they do that. And
unless you hit the one with the guided missile, then it blows your car up when you go through.
I remember the time where they used to hand you the little slip, and you'd hit, and it had all the fares on it from
you
that
had to
one.
Take the ticket. And if you lost your ticket between the exits, you had the
full fare.
Yeah.
All the way from wherever, from exit one to the other end.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, you kind of had to lose it if you were doing well over the speed limit the whole way.
Yeah, I guess.
No, because they will give you a ticket, too, if they can prove that you were speeding.
It's a huge expanse, though, and it'd be hard to tell that because I guarantee you we're going to stop at one of the service plots on the PA Turnpike.
Yeah, that's another
thing
that you can do is stop in the middle.
Right. We always do that, you know, stop and take a pee, maybe grab something to eat, you know. I don't think I'll need gas because I think I should be able to make that whole trip.
Take a picture of yourself in the restroom.
I wouldn't do that. I'll tell you what, man. I don't know what's going on with my laptop today. This laptop is hot as hell.
Are you going to need to use Google Maps for your trip, or do you know it already by heart?
Yeah, I'll probably need it. Mostly on the other end. I kind of know how to get there, but it's I couldn't tell you. Like, once I got off the turnpike, I really couldn't tell you.
I couldn't imagine there wouldn't be signs leading you the whole way off the turnpike. Isn't it like
true.
The turnpike to 80? Is it 80, 81? Is that it? Or 80?
I'd have to go through they have actually a nice thing on their website now.
On Hershey's website?
No, the turnpike's website.
Oh, the turnpike. Oh man, I'll tell you what, I don't know how Ohio's Easy Pass is, but Pennsylvania's Easy Pass website looks like it stepped out in 1998. Or did for a while. That was pretty bad.
It's not horrible.
I think it's using active server pages still. Is active server still a big thing?
Not even supported anymore.
That's ASPX, right? Active server?
Yeah.
Pages? Oh, man. What did it replace it with? .NET, right?
I think.
Like, I don't know anybody. I don't like anybody that's running .NET servers anymore. Or at least...
Okay, so, see, the exit is...
I haven't had to deal with them for, like...
Oh,
five
okay.
Or six
it's
years.
It's it's the exit we get off of is US Route 15 Gettysburg Pike, and that's how we. I think that goes up 15 to connect to probably 322 or 422.
Oh yeah, Hershey's not that far from Gettysburg, right?
Well, if you go the other direction on 15, yeah.
I forget how far apart they are. It's not that much. Is it more than an hour?
I don't think so. I mean, I'd like to go to. You ever heard of the Shady Maple?
The Shitty Maple.
Shady Maple.
No,
it sounded like you said Shitty Maple. It really did.
No. Shady Maple is a Pennsylvania Dutch style smorgasbord.
Okay, yeah, and, no, I would never have heard of
it. And
that.
I think it's over at Blue Ball, which
Shitty
is right
Maples
next to Intercourse.
Blue Balls.
Right?
Where the hell's Blue Ball? Is it, wait, Blue Ball?
Blue Ball is just the, I think Blue Ball is just to the east of Intercourse.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not kidding.
Really? Where is it in relation to Kumquat, Pennsylvania?
I don't know.
Oh, who named those places?
Pennsylvania Dutch or the Amish.
Oh, baby. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I just an update on my open telemetry joys going on. It was interesting. I had to file a issue with Google last week because the filters, I think I might have mentioned this, but the labels that we put, or attributes as they're called, in OpenTelemetry, they're labels in Google, and you should be able to filter on the labels, and they weren't able to. The labels weren't showing up in the filter list. And I had to put an issue in with Google about that. But come to find out that even though they don't show up in the list, you can manually type out that whole search phrase or the search filter it would be, which is like label in all capitals with a colon, then the key, and then another colon, and then the value. And it's kind of an inconvenience to do it. Like, there's no indication that you would ever be able to do something like that. But apparently you can, and it works. So they were like, yeah, we filed an issue with Upstream, and we'll put in a feature request, but they're pretty busy right now, so no estimated time on when they would be able to even begin looking at it or agree to do it. So I was like, yay. Thanks. The UI is kind
thanks for all the help.
Yeah, kind of shitty to begin with. But all right, whatever. So and then I had another problem whereby on the other end of things, the metric side of things, I wanted to be able to filter them in a meaningful way in the metrics program. So it's kind of like a similar problem. Only this time, like, they have one configurable option called prefix, which I think is called prefix, which is like supposed to attach like a prefix to the metric, right? But the problem is, so for instance, I wanted to use our application name because there's nothing in the metric that's gathered that indicates what application it is, right? It would just come through as OpenTelemetry as the prefix / and like system CPU. And I wanted to change it to our application name. But in conjunction with that, is the metric type, which is an odd thing to call it like metric type, and I don't have another kind of descriptor for it. But essentially, it is on the metric side of things, they have an API And the type is kind of like the API domain, the API domain or host of the API, host name of the API. For instance, custom.googleapis.com is the metric type for a custom metric. And what they were doing in the code, even though you could specify a prefix, what they were doing in the code, there was one option, but then they had two other variables in the code where it basically said, here is the display name and here is the metric type. And it set the display name and the metric type to something different. Default values there. So if you set metric, it would set the display name and the metric type to the same value, which meant that if you tried to change the if you tried to set the prefix to something reasonable other than the metric type, it wouldn't work, which was really annoying. So the metric type is supposed to be like the host name to the Google APIs, and then the prefix is what you want to, you know, prefix it for. So what you had to do, if you technically wanted to get this to work and have your application name in there, your prefix that you set had to be something like custom.googleapis.com/your metric name or whatever you wanted to name it, your application name. And then in the custom, in the UI, in the custom filter location under globals, it would list all the metrics that were available. But instead of it being like your application name slash metric, it would be custom.googleapis.com/your application name/the metric. And it was so wonky. So I put in, This is in their OpenTelemetry client for the metrics. So I put in a feature request. Well, not a feature request. I put in under their issues, asked whether there would be a problem with splitting it out and accepting two different values. And I have, like, this would be the first time I've ever contributed to a project like this outside of our company. That's not true. I did it in Couchbase. But I have a PR ready to go for this. So their policy states that open up an issue first, and if we deem that is good, then the PR would be acceptable, but not until. And I did that on Monday, I think it was, which, and I'm still waiting, and that annoys me. Like, nobody's responded to it yet, and I'm like, come on, I'm trying to get things done here, and then I ran into another problem. Coming back off of that is now want to set. Well, I wanted to set custom attributes and labels on the traces which I got working. But at the same time, I wanted to filter out the traces that were coming in because it's the UI, like I said, is a god awful mess, right? So this application is a Next application, and it's basically like a search function, a search page that everybody comes into, and it presents their assets and everything or what that they can manage. So they click on what they want, and then it takes them onto the other application to actually manage that resource. But this is called just like discovery, content discovery. And what I wanted to do was I just wanted it to trace the application, but in the tracing itself, it's also grabbing all the requests and everything that get sent to the Google APIs metrics stuff, as well as some other things. And I wanted to filter them out, right? And you can do that. There's an option to do that, but I spent 4 days trying to get this damn thing to work. And their documentation is so non-existent for this function.
Wonky donkey.
Yeah, and I hate this. So, like, I went through, I had the, so first off, there is no documentation, right? The documentation about this feature consists of the README in the GitHub repo that says, here are the configurable options, and it lists, and out of all the configurable options, right, all of them are hot, are hyperlinks that if you click on one, it takes you to the relevant location of that option in the types definition page in TypeScript. And you could read it in there, right? It doesn't, that's where you would have to get the information, except for the one of the two options that I wanted to use. No link, hyperlink whatsoever, right? And these two, the option that I wanted replaces a deprecated option of a similar name. And they're basically like, don't use a deprecated option. That's bad. You don't want to do that because they could get rid of it at any point and then everything breaks. And you're like, well, what happened? Why isn't it working? Right? Because you use a deprecated option. So there, I spent 2 days trying to get this to work by myself. And then yesterday, I finally called in somebody who knows this stuff way better than I did. We again went looking through all the code. And he's like, we tried so many different things, pretty much the same thing that I was doing. And he's like, I have no idea what they want. It makes absolutely no sense. Everything we tried didn't work. Cut to today. I got two other people coming and looking at it. And these are people that are really good at their jobs and basically almost the exact same stuff that we went through yesterday. They're like, well, try this, try that, try this. And they're like, I have no idea what they want because it's not working. And wouldn't you know it, the deprecated option works perfectly, right? It is just so simple to use. Yeah, it's so simple to use, works perfectly. The other option, I have no freaking clue what it's doing. It's not doing whatever it's supposed to be doing. So I had to post an issue on that repo also, and I haven't heard anything. And it's only been, like, the last time I checked, it was only 3 hours. But I need these people there looking at this stuff. And, man, not just, like, it, this whole OpenTelemetry project has been, it's just one exercise in futility after the other, because it would really help if they had some good documentation instead of just like an API reference, which that's great. I like to know about the API, and that's fine. I find, you know, that is important, but it's like here's a really basic hello world example. Now go do what you want to go do, you know? And that's what I find a lot. Like, it's like, here's your hello world example. Okay, that's easy. Now code a spreadsheet. Like, come on, you know? Like, just like better documentation would really help this. Also, I understand that it is a project that is under heavy development, and some of the blog postings and stuff online to help you out that people have put up are already out of date. And it's helpful to an extent, but then when there's like massive changes through the whole thing, it almost does you no good. It just leads you in the wrong direction. To be fair, they have some decent examples, but they don't like, there's gaps. There's huge gaps in this that you kind of like are sit left there scratching your head trying to figure out whether does it not work or are you doing something wrong? And then I'm like, if I've had this problem, and it's nice that I got some validation that it's not all me that's failing here. Like, three other people looked at this and came away, and these, like I said, far better skills than I have in Node.js and JavaScript. And they looked at this and they couldn't figure it out. So I'm like, is anybody using this? Like, has anybody ever used this? How are people not like just as confused as we are?
Sure. Somebody used it. Google used it.
No, this isn't Google. This isn't the Google stuff.
Okay.
I do have to question the Google side of things there too, asking like, in what sane world do you offer configurable option, one configurable option, then in the code itself, if you don't set that configurable option, two different values are given to two different variables. But if you set that option, both of those variables use that same value. It makes absolutely no sense. That is just this. It doesn't make sense at all. Like, how could that get through? Where does it make sense, Joe? Tell me that.
You're supposed to pay for the training too.
The training.
Yeah, training. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, here is that's like the thing. Like, I've been working on this problem for a little over a year for a client. Okay, and it's changed hands, and I'm kind of.
And then when the training still doesn't make sense,
right?
You're supposed to pay for someone else to do it.
Yep. But it's like, you know, and it's like over and over again, and the guy keeps the support rep keeps lobbing shit over the wall, and I'm like, can I have a call with you? I had to ask three times before I finally got one. And lo and behold, the guy was useful. It's like, you know, I don't do just this product. I wish I did, but I don't. So you need to realize that early. It's like, come on. Give me the logging and, oh, I don't know. It's just been frustrating.
So wait, you're still working on that issue?
Well, if our jobs were easy, they wouldn't pay us the big bucks.
Yeah, no, there's that. But you know what? It doesn't, like, with just a little bit of the documentation, it doesn't have to be that hard. Now, I could be the...
What I've always found is that even with, you know, old applications, I'm always the guy that has to go in and write the documentation.
For your team, you or for
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what I'll say. Like, during this whole process, I'm documenting it and writing it up and discussing how we need, you know, writing up how to implement this. Now, if I would put my money where my mouth is, I would document this on their repos too and help them out with their documentation. I still got to figure the shit out, you know what I'm saying? So not just helping our team, but it'd be helping other people, hopefully. But I also get the fact that sometimes documentation is very time consuming, and if all you're interested is getting this code to work and giving out, I can understand why documentation gets pushed by the wayside. It shouldn't, but then it just leads to people being frustrated when they can't get the shit to work because they don't know what actually needs to be done. But yeah, you got it right there, Joe. I agree with you. What do you guys document in?
Well, we have wikis. We have SharePoints.
Is that a SharePoint? Note. Is that like a SharePoint wiki?
Some of them, yes. It's we have.
No, but
like,
I mean,
actual like wikis, and then we have actual like SharePoints. But then our SharePoints also have. A OneNote where my team has been keeping our notes for the last couple of years because we all have access to that same OneNote, and it's a whole lot easier to search that than it is a wiki. So I've actually moved a lot of the wikis onto our OneNote just to make it searchable.
Now, is that an evolutionary thing that you went from something then to the wikis and then to OneNote?
Well, when I first got here, most of it was on wikis, but there were different types of, like, there were still like three or four different areas where these wikis were, where you didn't always have access to all of them.
Right.
Because when you got access to one set of wikis, it automatically dropped you from the other set of wikis for some reason.
That's helpful.
Yes. Extremely.
Was this controlled by Active Directory? Access through Active Directory like that?
Yeah, it might be on the back end, but we were using ARM, and I don't know what they were using to automatically provision, because a lot of that was just automatic. So it could have been Active Directory.
We use Confluence for a lot of our documentation.
We have some on Confluence.
Yep. But we have Confluence. We used to manage a lot of the projects, our internal ones, not the ones that the clients put tickets in for. We used to do that with Microsoft Planner, which is only in Office 365. There's not a app that you can add. So you actually have to go through that via a web browser. But we're gradually switching that over to Jira.
Wait.
We have Jira as well.
What are you switching over to Jira?
Anything that's in Microsoft Planner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we... Yep.
Oh, any man. Planner cards are going to go into there, into Kanban. And
we also have some of our documentation, sadly, in Papa.
In what?
Papa. It's in-house.
Papa's it. Oh. You, oh. Boy.
That's an in-house application they built? Does it work?
It's like an in-house front end to Remedy.
Remedy sounds like a database.
No, it's a
ticketing system, right?
Ticketing system, yes.
Okay.
Kind of like ServiceNow.
don't you say that name, Joe. I was just about to say that.
Hey, I got 50 good boy points for that today. At work. I'm doing UAT for the new version.
I give you just one get the hell out of here with that crap, that application. I hate. You know, I was going to say that when I first started working, the division of company I worked for, who still uses ServiceNow, put all their documentation into the knowledge. The ServiceNow has that knowledge base component to it. And if you thought ServiceNow was difficult to lumber through, the knowledge base was not any easy. It was, and to put new articles in, it was a nightmare. Now we use Confluence, and
We started using the knowledge base in ServiceNow, but I think we're going to be switching back to using Confluence for that.
Oh, you know, speaking of ServiceNow, I don't know what's worse. I don't know whether the unfettered default interface is worse than when somebody tries to build a custom interface that is supposed to help you get access to the tasks that you should normally want to do, only none of those tasks match your needs and you have no clue what to do.
Oh, working with front ends for front ends?
Yes. Oh.
Are interfaces for interfaces?
Yep, I love it because their regular interface is so terrible. But then you strip it all away and give just, you can change your path. You need your password changed. Did you lose access? Did you? And I'm like, none of these things I need match. Mm-hmm. ServiceNow. Joe, you said you've had ServiceNow experience?
No, we were going to switch to ServiceNow, but then they changed their mind, and I don't know what they're switching to now.
Oh, that's too bad for you, because you really need to experience ServiceNow, man.
You know,
yeah, I know.
I'm good. I tell you what, I will go out of my way to experience ServiceNow if you can go out of your way to deal with Mail Watch.
What's Mail Watch?
Mail Watch is a front end for Papa, which is a front end for Remedy.
It seems like it should be such a simple application, Mail Watch. It's obviously it sounds like it's watching mail. Like, is it filtering?
Essentially, it is watching an Outlook mailbox.
And it turns whatever comes in into a ticket in Remedy?
Into a ticket, yes, which then turns it into a ticket in Papa. Well, no, it takes it and it turns it into a Papa ticket, and the Papa ticket gets turned into a Remedy ticket.
Okay. How well does it work?
Well, it's gotten a little bit better than when it first came out, because it used to like crash constantly and just lock up, and then you just have to go and look in the mailbox to see if anything new came in. But it's still a pain in the use, or a pain in the butt to use, because multiple teams use the same mailbox, and it's all separated by it's separated out between like risk, CPM, and different other, the word isn't application, like divisions. And the problem is sometimes you'll add another division to your email, but then they won't ever see the ticket because it won't be replicated into their division. It's only in the one spot. So if you need to bring in another team, you can't. At least not on that ticket. You have to make a new one. And then you can't track it on your ticket. Or you can give them the ticket and not be able to track it.
Now, one thing I'm trying to figure out in ServiceNow is how to get clients from putting in tickets for what are essentially projects. They're like, they put a ticket in and it says, help us switch to from one payment provider to another. I'm like, that's not really something you want to do with a ticket, man. That's essentially a little tiny project. I mean, it's not a lot of work, but you know, they think that you can just do it in a day, and I'm like, no, you've got quite a bit of testing, because it's like you're dealing with money and you don't want to not test it and make sure, because you got to make sure the damn thing works.
Or you get asked the question, why did it take you 20 minutes to respond to this ticket? And then you look, because the ticket was actually generated a minute and a half ago.
Yeah. Yep. Stuff like that, you know. And then now we're also going into a possible touchy point where we're going to start saying, okay, we have to make changes to increase the stability of your systems, but then they like the way things are and they don't want to go that way, and it's like, well, you don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because one of the biggest tickets, we get at least five a week that have because of the way things are configured, they're basically because of stuff the customer did on their side. So when that happens, we're tired of dealing with it.
What are you going to do?
Get a new job.
Become a manager.
Not have to work with the ticketing system anymore and just have to deal with other people bitching about it.
But just manage the ticketing system.
Where did my Gatorade go?
I don't know.
Joel, did you steal my Gatorade?
A little hard to do that from Grove City.
You'd find a way.
If I did, I wouldn't have to drive 6 hours on Friday.
Yeah, it'd be a long, long
technology
drive.
Man.
Going to Hershey from Joe's place. Woo.
Ooh, from there, yeah, that'd be like a day.
Oh, your keyboard is really loud today.
Who's mine?
Dan's keyboard.
Yes.
My hammy ham fingers. Tap, tap, tap it away. Did you get anywhere with that Apple?
Mac?
Yeah, the Mac.
No, it's still sitting in the exact same spot. I've been working on other stuff, working on campaign mostly.
Wow.
And I did buy seven sets of broken Samsung Level U headsets, specifically because I wanted the drivers from them. And it takes 15 minutes to print the casing for it, about 3 minutes to remove it, and about 5 minutes to put the MMCX mod in there.
Now, I got a good one. I'm actually wired right now. My laptop is wired to our Ethernet, to my network here. And what I ended up doing, we have coax in the walls that we're not using for TV. You know, it's for TV. So I just realized I have a jack in my room, and then all three runs of coax are literally like right next to where the fiber point comes in for spectrum.
That's great and all. I know where you're going with it, that whole coax house adapter thing. But those are expensive.
Yeah, it was $150. Yeah, I did it. And I'm glad I did, because I now get I'll get between 700 and 800 megabit down.
What, in your man cave?
In the man cave, yep.
Oh, that is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's 100% better. I basically put I had to buy some F connectors to put on the cables, and I didn't know which cable was for which room, so I just put them on all three, and lo and behold, the very first cable I picked was the right one. But then just connected it there, plugged it in. There's a power strip already right next to where the fiber comes in. And then I cleaned up all the – I had a router and stuff outside. Cleaned that up, and then I have a – I'm actually using every single Ethernet cable from my office down to the rest of the house too. So – In my bedroom, we have the Roku hooked directly connected to Ethernet. In the living room, I got a switch plugged in there, and then the TV. And I need to get the rest of the stuff wired there, like the Chromecast and stuff like that. Wi-Fi connectivity is a little bit better. It kind of flops between about 400 and 500. And I think eventually what's probably going to happen is we're going to save up and get probably an Aero mesh system, EERO, from Amazon. That's $700 I'm not ready to spend right now. But that has been showing really good connectivity. Either that or a Netgear Orbi.
That price.
Yeah, Orbi also has some good performance too. I have another friend who has the cable version of Spectrum's gigabit service, and on his Wi-Fi, on a Wi-Fi 6 network, he's getting around 800 megabit down, and I don't get close to that. I think eventually that's going to be in the cards to replace the mesh system with something that's got a little bit better performance, because the Zen Wi-Fi AX units don't seem to be doing it well. I mean, it's doing okay. Yeah, you know, I can stream 4K on Wi-Fi, so that's not a problem. But honestly, though, I'd rather be able to get what I want or what I pay for on every form of connectivity if I can. So, hopefully those cable to Ethernet adapters start to come down in cost, because it's a really very good product. Over the coax, it's supposed to go all the way up to 2 gig. So,
I guess that's good for, you know, well, if you've got like 10 gig connections on your computers, then computer to computer, that would be good in the house.
Yeah, computer to computer, and that, yeah, I don't need 10 gig switch yet. But I don't have 10 gig service yet.
Well, I'm saying in the house.
Right. Well, yeah, yeah, that cable, I was going to say, that cable, the cable that's in the walls is all Cat6e, so it's all certified to 10 gig. So, once the 10 gig switch is coming down in price, I'll definitely do that, because that'll help for my media stuff. And here, Dan's just using Wi-Fi everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. Except down here, I'm all wired in.
That's most households anymore, all wireless, except for, yeah, you know, maybe your server if you've got a computer guy in the house.
I would recommend that if you do get a mesh system and it has a wireless backhaul, make sure it's not using the Wi-Fi network as the wireless backhaul, because that's kind of what mine does. It's until I, right now I actually disabled the wireless backhaul, so it's just using the wired backhaul because all my nodes are wired now. That's if you're in a place that big enough for a mesh system. Mine probably could be fine with one router, but I already have the mesh system that I needed when I was in the apartment. Mesh systems, I think, work best was when you're in like a really thick environment, like thick as in, like at the apartment complex we had. When I fired up my Wi-Fi analyzer, I saw like 40 access points, all in range from my apartment. So it's no wonder I was having problems. Hard to find in a free channel there. And at least I got my work laptops now wired again. It's a little bit more reliable.
How many work laptops do you have?
Just the one.
Wow.
And I've confirmed that when I am due for a new one, which should be, I don't know if it's this year or if it's next year, but it should be. If it's this year, it'll be soon. But I went to our, we have like a SharePoint page that has all of our like the current laptops that they're giving out. And every Mac is the M1, with the top end being the M1 Pro, a 16-inch M1 Pro.
And that's what you're getting?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to push for. that and a good Thunderbolt dock, I want that too. Better than the Windows stuff. And now, and on your Mac, your work Mac, you're not using Monterey yet, are you?
I'm on Big Sur.
Okay.
Your
release or two.
Wait.
Monterey's the current.
Wait. Yeah. Oh, no way. I don't know. I might be on Monterey.
Yeah, that's the current version of Mac OS.
I think I'm on the current version.
But the best part of the M1 MacBooks, no freaking touch bar.
Yeah, thank goodness, huh?
A real escape key, real function keys. Yeah, it's the top configuration they order is 16 gig of RAM, or unified storage in that case, since it's an M1. 512 gig of the SSD and the M1 Pro.
Are they getting rid of that touch bar on all their models going forward?
If it's got an M1 in it, it doesn't have a touch bar.
But if it doesn't, then it does have a touch bar?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's the case for, like, if you're still insistent on having Intel hardware, which they do make a few things with Intel. Really, the only product they have that's not their own silicon is the actual Mac Pro. They have the Studio, which is damn close to a Pro, which looks like an oversized Mac Mini.
Uh-huh.
But the only one that's still for sure Intel and Intel only is the Mac Pro. So, and I read an odd story about the Studio where they've really done some weird stuff with it. Like there's been people that open up the Studio and there's actually like a spare storage slot, but it must have to match like maybe an internal serial on the storage or something. Because they've tried taking it because it's a weird form factor that's not standard M2. In fact, it only has basically the board itself only has the NAND flash chips on it, and that's it. So, but they tried quote unquote upgrading. Yeah, there's some idiot I watched a video on who had two Mac Studios, tore apart one, then tried to move the SSD over from one to the other because they're removable. All right. Amazingly enough, they actually did something where they're removable, but unfortunately, it didn't. They must do something weird in their if whatever they got firmware wise. That prevents you from switching it out. Weird stuff they do. But, and then, and I gotta give them some credit. At least they put some front facing IO ports on the Mac Studio. If it's the top end one, the USB-C ports on the front are Thunderbolt 4 ports. And if it's the one step down, it's they're just USB-C ports there. But I kind of would like one, but I can't justify spending what I'd want to spend on one because it'd be $8,000.
Woo!
It's 8 terabytes of SSD and I think up to 128 gigabytes of RAM.
What are you gonna do with all that power?
Anything I want. Try to take over the world. Did you guys hear about Bruce Willis?
What happened to Bruce Willis?
He's retiring from acting.
Oh, I didn't know.
What?
Bruce Willis is stepping down from acting because he's been diagnosed with aphasia.
Well, that's a bummer.
Aphasia?
Basically, it's a brain damage from either... It can be from a tumor or an injury makes it hard for you to talk as well as to understand language.
Okay.
So, I don't think he had anything recent lately. I'm trying to remember what the last thing he was.
Didn't he have that run of movies? What was it, last year or 2 years ago?
Well, he played a general in one of the G.I. Joe movies.
How long ago was that?
That was several years ago.
Yeah, well, I think my favorite movie he was in was actually The Fifth Element, which is just so fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I love The Fifth Element. Bruce Willis had a run of movies that were all, direct-to-video. And it was in the last couple of years. Oh, gosh. And they were really bad movies. But yeah. See if I can find his filmography. Filmography.
Yep. See, this in the 2020s, he played Doraemon for a SoftBank 5G advertisement in Japan.
Yeah. Well, he had 7 movies in 2021. 7. Yeah, 7 movies, but all of them but one were direct to video.
Wow. Well, I see. According to the Wikipedia page, he has 8 films awaiting release in 2022 and 2023.
Yep.
So he's still going to have some movies coming out, but it's like
but they're all direct to video.
Yeah. They finally put in a release date for the Top Gun Maverick movie that was supposed to come out in 2020.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about that. I bet you they probably started changing some of that because of the stuff in the Ukraine, maybe. I don't know. Because it's been completed for a while. And it's just like they were filming the final stuff with the Orville. And you got Strange New Worlds coming out.
What's that?
Another Star Trek series with Anson Mount playing Captain Pike.
That new TV show, Moon Knight. The first episode came out, I think it was yesterday or today.
Yeah. I heard it. No, I think it was yesterday. And I heard that yesterday as I was going to bed that the first episode was out. And I was like, oh, man, I could have watched it.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet. I do, have it, but I haven't watched it yet. I am excited for it, though.
Myself,
I
want to
watch
too.
Let's Roll.
Let's Roll a Joint.
No, it's a bowling. It's a bowling television series.
What's that on?
I want to say CBS.
Huh. Is it like is it a sitcom type thing?
That's a good question. The Let's Roll TV show.
Let's Roll. Well, this is called the Gutter Ball. Gutter Balls.
I gotta find.
You can go to the Hershey Bowling Alley while you're there?
I don't know if Hershey has. Oh, I'm sorry. Not Let's Roll. How We Roll.
Oh, How We Roll.
Series premiere is tomorrow, 9:30 p.m.
There you go. Now you got something to watch.
It looks like it does look like a sitcom. I'll have to show this to Luke because he might get a kick out of it. How We Roll. Now, I don't know if Hershey has a bowling alley, but I do know that Palmyra does. I found it on the map. And that's just down the road. I am planning on taking Luke. There's a couple places. It should take long to get there, but there's a couple places that my grandma and grandpa lived. In Palmyra and Anvil. So, and I probably should call my aunt and see if she wants to go out to dinner since she lives in Harrisburg.
Figure out the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Ugh. If I'm having chicken, I'm not having Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Popeyes.
That's absolutely right.
There you go.
The red beans and rice is pretty good for a side.
You know what I didn't do? I didn't upgrade to the new Ubuntu yet.
Oh, you should, because I think the release day is tomorrow.
Wait, I thought it was in April.
I'm sorry. Beta is tomorrow. That's right. It is in April. Beta is tomorrow. The April 21st is the release. And it's an LTS. I need to do a base install on one of my laptops. But I do got Chrome OS Flex on one of my old laptops, and it actually works pretty good. I'm just trying to figure out what I actually use it for.
Collecting dust, most likely.
Probably.
You could look at your Gmail account.
Yeah, right.
Sir Facebook.
He.
Twitter.
Twitter.
MySpace. Is there a MySpace app? I guess there must be.
I don't think so.
Really?
Why would there be? That was before appification of everything.
Yeah, I know, but
MySpace,
I mean,
MySpace still exists.
Yeah, MySpace is still around. Why wouldn't there be a MySpace app? I mean, we saw last week that it was still around.
I don't know. Check your phone. See what it says.
I gotta get to the Play Store.
Just I think the Pennsylvania Store. Turnpike has an app.
Alright. What was I looking for? Oh, MySpace.
MySpace. It's probably just a web app anyway.
Yeah, no, there is a MySpace. A part of the People Entertainment Weekly Network.
Woo! They completely destroyed the Hoagie Guys page. All your animations are gone.
Ronnie Carlos says, I'm happy to have access to my account again, but I can't even cannot even access anything. I don't know. That was recent.
I had to chuckle today. I was on Instagram and I saw an ad on there.
Yeah.
And you'll laugh when I tell you what it's for. It's for the name of the company is Lemonade. All right, now think about it. What was one of the shock pages from the early time of the tech show?
Lemon tuna melt, baby.
Nope. Lemon Party.
Oh, yeah, Lemon Party. What was the name of it?
So, yeah, Lemonade is the name of the company. And, yeah, it's for Cialis and Viagra and stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness. Forgot about Lemon Party.
We're having a lemon party.
It's not a party unless it's a lemon party.
It's like, you ever watch, was it CinemaSins? Oh, no, Junkball Media. They do a lot of Star Trek stuff. And they did, like, a retrospective on Star Trek Generations. And they called the scene between Picard and Soren a lemon party. Picard, Soren, and Kirk. Now the Picard series seems to be pretty decent. I'm caught up. A new episode comes out tomorrow. We'll see what happens.
Q messed everything up.
Oh well, that's true.
And only Picard can fix it.
And I'm still trying to figure this out, but spoiler alert, Picard met a young Guinan tending a bar called 10 Forward in L.A. And I thought, no, wait a minute, didn't he meet her in the 1800s and it still looked like Whoopi Goldberg?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's kind of screwed up.
It is.
It's just like in Strange New Worlds. Most of the crew like, if you know anything about Captain Pike, which was in the pilot, okay, that was where Captain Pike was. And most of the rest of the crew was the same, although they didn't have Chekhov, but they
Chekhov
had Scotty.
Didn't show up until, like, season two.
Right. Right. But Sulu was there, and basically, in Strange New Worlds, Scotty's not the engineer. Which I thought, you know, God, he could have got Simon Pegg to play Scotty.
What is he in Strange New Worlds?
It's a alien of some sort. It's actually a blind alien. I forget. It's a different. It looks a little bit like an Andorian, but his skin's all white.
Wait, when did Captain Pike? When does his storyline take place?
It's going to be between Discovery, season one Discovery. And season one and two Discovery, I should say, and
season one TOS.
Kirk's time, right?
So Discovery takes place before Kirk.
Well, correct. First season does.
First two seasons, I think it was. Oh. Yeah, that's until they jump to 30th century in season three. Way past everybody else.
Well, how come they never referenced the Lost Discovery on the regular Star Trek The Original Series?
Timelines.
Oh, timelines.
Yeah. Well, see, they really haven't...
They don't really reference the previous Enterprise either.
Enterprise, yeah, like Enterprise in X-01, yeah. So you got Anson Mount's Pike... Rebecca Romijn is number one. And I think she's actually going to get a name. And Ethan Peck is playing Spock. An actress named Christina Chong is playing Lon, and here's the name, Noonien Sung. So a relative of Khan's.
No, huh. A relative of Dr. Sun.
You know, or that, yeah, it could be that Khan, too. Right?
The creator of Data.
Yep. And then you got...
Yuan Sung.
And I'm trying to remember, Dr. Mbenga, wasn't that... that wasn't the M5 guy. Shoot. From the original series. Cecilia Rose Gooding is playing Nyota Uhura. I mean, I think at the beginning, maybe the first episode, she's just a cadet, I think.
And this is Star Trek. What?
Strange New World.
Strange New World. And when did it start?
I think it is May 5th on Paramount Plus.
It's just an alternate timeline?
I don't know, man. It's semi-Abrams check, so... And you got Melissa Navia playing Erica Ortega's. I guess the doctor might be the Dr. Mbenga, but I thought... That name sounds familiar, as in it was a Star Trek name before. I just can't remember. Jess Bush plays Christina Chapel. So it'll be interesting. We'll have to see what it's like.
They've already announced a second season for Strange New Worlds, even though, you know, the first episode isn't out till May 5th.
I know, right? I'm like, what if the ratings blow? Probably won't, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, Christina Chong is playing Laon Noonien Sung. which is a relative of Khan Nguyen Sung.
That's right.
But Nguyen Sung was the creator of Data. Or one of the Nguyen Sung.
It was spelled differently. It's spelled differently.
Because Khan was a genetically engineered whatever. No, eugenics. So he was bred and put into suspended animation for forever. And then stuck on a desert world for forever. So when did he get time to make relatives?
Well, like in Star Trek VI, when Sulu's daughter was on the bridge of the Enterprise B, Scotty said, "You make the time." And by the way, too, I don't know if at least the listeners do, but all Star Trek's going to be coming off of Netflix. I'm not exactly sure when, but it's all going. The only way you're going to be able to watch it's on Paramount Plus.
Okay, it's a very similar spelling, but it is Nguyen Sung as opposed to Nguyen Sing.
Correct.
As in, there's like only a couple of letters difference between them.
Oh, that's interesting. Apparently, that was a Gene, an officer that Gene Roddenberry knew during World War II. Interesting.
And, okay, Eric Sung, who did the augmentation research in the 22nd century, is a relative of Nguyen Sung, who created Data.
And the androids in Picard look weird. And they were outlawed until the end of season one.
Outlawed what, the androids?
Yep. In the beginning it was, I think they were working on building a fleet to help them go rescue the Romulans because of the stuff that happened during the events that caused Star Trek 2009, right? With what was his name in the Narada, the captain of the Narada. Anyway, the dark matter that caused the star at Romulus to collapse. That's part of Picard. So, and Picard was heavily the admiral that was in charge of rescuing as many Romulans as they could. So, if you haven't watched season one of Picard, it's worth it. Good stuff in that. And yes, we did bowling with the family, the extended family, on Saturday. And then last night we went to O'Charlie's with Luke for his birthday, his actual birthday. And I had me the Cajun, I think it's Cajun tenders, but basically it was their chicken tenders and shrimp in this Cajun sauce, which is pretty good. Because I like seafood. I know Dan does. Dan, you used to go fishing in that little rubber boat of yours, didn't you?
Yeah, I love seafood. I had, oh, here's a good one. Oh, this was beautiful, man. On a Saturday morning, got a text from the seafood wholesaler up here. They said they got sushi grade tuna in off the docks, and
so Dan made some spicy tuna.
It was $15 a pound. So I was going to go up and buy 3 pounds. Well, I was going to get like 2 pounds, I think. And then my neighbor wanted a pound. So I was going to get 4 pounds and keep 3 myself. And I got up there and I'm like, hey, do you have any left? And the guy's like, yeah, we got this. Just cut this one right here, 8 pounds. The side of this, 8 pounds. And I said, how much? And he said, $75. I was like, hell yeah, $75 for 8 pounds of sushi grade tuna? Holy mackerel. It was a sashimi grade tuna. It was amazing. It was huge, man. So it was more like I got it for half price at $15 a pound. So I got it for like $7.50 a pound, man. It was so, and I cut it up when I got home. I gave 2 pounds to my neighbor. She only wanted one, so I gave her 2. And then we had, I think, 2 pounds, not even 2 pounds, for dinner that night. Nice hunk of it for, oh my God, it was so buttery. It was so, it was delightful.
Well, tell you what, for a chain of, Charlie's has been getting a lot better seafood lately. Like they have crab cakes on the menu, which are fantastic. And they have stuffed crab. Like, and see, this is what I was gonna order, but then I found out it didn't come with any sides. It was actually an appetizer, but they had shrimp and then some stuffed crab with it. But it's like that's all there was. There was no, you couldn't get add fries onto it or anything like that. And then Luke found out they got rid of his favorite sandwich there. He used to get, they had a French dip at O'Charlie's he used to get all the time, but that's not on the menu anymore. But oh well. But I'm gonna, when we go to Hershey, I found out they have a Permonte Brothers in Hershey. That's a Pittsburgh famous restaurant, and pretty well known for like their sandwiches there. Like they have a sandwich, like they'll pile fries on top of the sandwich, kind of like a little bit of a modified version of a Chip Buddy. So, yeah, it's carbalicious, but it's vacation too.
We gotta start wrapping things up soon. So, what are you saying? Do.
Yep.
Yep. And we got Southeast Linux Fest coming in June. And I think I'm gonna start planning on going there. Sheraton Charlotte Airport. I'm wondering if it'll be well attended or not. I bet you probably will be.
I wouldn't doubt it. It was pretty well attended the last time, and it's been a while since we had one, so
in person, anyway.
Yeah.
I might, since we're kind of staying right on Chocolate Avenue in Hershey. And some of the restaurants I'd like to check out, I'd like to just walk down there, like from the hotel. because it's like a smaller kind of a downtown area, and it's not, you know, it's like, I think I measured out, it's like a half mile of a walk down to where the Primanti Brothers is. And in that same area, they got like a First Watch and a Freshito Asian fusion place, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, place called Beef Jerky Experience. And really not that far from where our hotel is. It says half a mile, 3 minutes by car, probably 10 minutes by walk. And some of the history part that they used to have at Chocolate World, they moved it to like a museum that's right on Chocolate Avenue. So I don't know if we're gonna go to the park or not, because it's gonna be kind of chilly in the 50s. Yeah, we'll figure it out when we get there. So that's it. It's 10 o'clock. Let's play us out.
Oh, you know what? I am not going to be here next week.
Oh no.
Yeah. So, you know what? If you guys want to record a show, I can put it out when I get back. Okay. I'll be on a houseboat with my.
You'll be on a boat, motherfucker.
I'll be on a boat and with my sister-in-law, and brother-in-law, and Lillian, my wife, and Avery. All right. That's excitement.
Oh, man. They, what a name for this place. You know how they like axe throwing has become like a thing, right?
Okay.
In Hershey, there's a place called Stumpy's Hatchet House of Hershey. It's named Stumpy's. Which is what would happen if you screw up with throwing the axe.
I didn't know axe throwing was a big thing.
It kind of is, man. There's literally leagues in our area for it.
Wasn't aware of that. I don't know if it's that big down here.
Weird, huh?
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna play us out. Good luck, everybody, this week. Good luck, Joe, with your campaigning. And Joel, wonderful time in Hershey.
Yep.
Safe trip. And here is everybody's promos. Have fun.
I am short.
Oh my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yay,
as we hear Dan pounding the key.
Yep. Getting things going.
Excuse me.
What time are you leaving on Friday then? Since you have to
when
wait.
When we
around.
Do.
Oh, you won't know until you can actually.
Yeah, I think we're gonna try and leave as early as we can, just because I don't really like driving into at night usually, you know. I will, but
Yeah, but you got to wait until prescription gets filled.
Yeah, get that prescription filled. Yeah, which kind of sucks, but. And I'm definitely going to be hitting Weiss or Giant or both up while I'm there and get me some Lebanon bologna. What's funny is I don't really want to get like the just the regular or the sweet because they have some other flavors that I've never tried before. Like they got a chipotle flavored Lebanon bologna now.
Yeah, you were saying.
Yeah. And then probably get me some Martin's potato chips. I don't know if those were big where you used to live in your section of PA.
I remember them.
Yeah. Ring bologna, too, if I can find.
I can't imagine you would have a hard time finding them. Ring bologna.
Not in that area. No, not at all. See, I try. Well, man, unfortunately, time changes a lot of things. You know, and one of the things I was trying to find was there used to be a smorgasbord right in Palmyra, and they just had things like right on the bar. They had things like shoe fly pie and stuff like that. Chow chow, if you're into that stuff.
I like chow chow, but I can't see an all-you-can-eat chow chow.
Yeah, no.
That's a little much.
I'm done on that.
I don't know. Maybe somebody really likes chow chow.
Oh. I'm trying to think what else. What's something else that I haven't had in a long time that I would like to get when I was there?
Scrapple.
It's hard to... Scrapple, yeah. What'd you say, Joe?
Snacks.
Well, yeah, snacks, yeah.
No. Sex.
Oh,
intercourse.
Well,
yeah. Oh, with a ring bologna.
Actually, intercourse is west of Blue Ball. I mean, there's actually towns in that area of PA called that.
All right, with that, I'm going to stop the recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Goodnight, Joel. And I'm still not sure if we're going to go to Hershey Park or not. We might just because there's stuff I haven't seen there yet outside of the park. The park is way different than the last time I was there, though.
You ever been to the factory?
Not the factory direct, just Chocolate World.
Yeah, that's not really the factory. That's...
Yeah. My mom worked there.
Oh, really? How long?
Yep. Yep, back in the 60s, right after, like, 60s, early 70s, probably when right after she graduated high school. Because she went and learned all that secretarial stuff, like shorthand and stuff. In fact, true story, Mom used to write, when we all lived there, Mom used to write her list of stuff to get for Christmas in shorthand because she could read it and we couldn't.
That's a great idea.
As we would
chicken
find
scratch.
Yep, that's what it looked like. And that's kind of a dead thing now, too. It's like, who does shorthand anymore? Nobody. Although that, when I
don't
sat in my
life. Steganographers, Latin, court steganographers still use shorthand, which is why
they
get paid as much as they do. Yeah, but they're still using shorthand to type out.
Yeah, it's a little different than that. It's funny you mentioned that because I was just going to talk about that, right? They have a the court person at the court reporter. She showed us what it looked like, and it's not shorthand. it's kind of like one because she does have to take software. After the court's done, and then translate that to actual notes and stuff, that words that people can read. But yeah, it was really interesting to see that because it had like a memory, like it had an SD card slot on it and batteries. You know, it was like almost like a little tiny laptop, but it didn't have enough keys to be like a full laptop. So she would cord things in, and it would go in a weird way.
Did your mom get paid in chocolate?
Well, you know, my mom, no, but they had a desk drawer in every office.
Of chocolates?
Actually, yes.
Well, because it's a dying art, they actually get paid pretty well from what I understand.
Oh, court reporters? Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, when mom worked at the plant, she told me that they would take like any bars that broke when they were coming out of the mold would go to the offices. They had big boxes. They'd run around once a day and resupply the cabinet. But now see, that's the one thing I'm not sure I want to do. Chocolate World has this thing where it's you can make your own bar. So you can put whatever you want in it. But it's like $27, and I'm not so sure I want to spend $27 to make one candy bar.
How much does a candy bar weigh?
It's bigger than the normal one, and it prints a label that you can keep. And I think when you pick it up, it comes in like a tin that you can keep. So it's not entirely just the candy, you know. Looks like a bigger bar.
I'll print you out a label off of my laser printer up here and send it to you in a tin for $15.
That's
and
great.
I'll include a chocolate bar.
I know. For me though, it's not. I'm just happy. Like I'd be happy going there, and I bet you they'll have the peanut butter eggs that you know that's out in the stores now because Easter's coming.
Well, not the Reese's, right? Do they have the bigger peanut butter eggs?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what they'll have. See, that's the other thing, too, is a lot of times they'll have stuff there that you can't get in the stores. Like, if they're test, like, one year, I don't think they have them anymore, but one year we went there and I got the grape Pull and Peels. So it was grape flavored Twizzlers Pull and Peels because they own Twizzlers, too. And the grape ones were good. Now, I bought an Easy Pass, Ohio Easy Pass for the Turnpike because it would, like, save me 50% in the tolls. The only thing is I'm not sure if it's going to be active by the time I get to New Stanton.
do you want any pudding?
I'll take a little bit.
Okay, do you want me to put a container for you?
Sure, you can bring it down.
Ooh.
No, and you could just put it in a bowl.
Lily's bringing Daddy a pudding.
Yeah, she made it. Got to take advantage of that while the...
Is it like from scratch?
No. From the box.
From the Jell-O box.
Yes, we're taking it one step at a time. Then we can...
There you go.
I'm not going to have her making pudding from scratch on a show night. I can't be
meat potato cheese squares, which is like basically a meatloaf with mashed potatoes on top of that, and then you melt cheese on top of that. It's one of those things I make that I don't really have a recipe for.
Do you actually make a meatloaf first, and then you cut it, and then you put the mashed potatoes and cheese on top?
No, I basically take, it's the same kind of mixture that would be in a meatloaf. But I just put it in a pan, and I'll leave it in the pan. And then I put the mashed potatoes and the cheese on top of that. Some people will make gravy to put on top of the whole thing, which that's a little bit gross.
Who doesn't love gravy, man?
Yeah.
Would you don't like the combination of gravy and cheese?
Probably, yeah. Actually, I'll tell you someone who doesn't like gravy. A vegan.
Mushroom gravy.
There's the... Actually, I want to get mushroom ketchup. Because that was the first ketchup, actually, was mushroom made out of mushrooms.
All right, we better start the show. Get out of here, cat.
Yes, we should.
This is what, 9:40? Wait, this is 9:49. Did Joe come back?
I didn't know he left.
Yeah, he said he'd be right back.
Yeah, so I got from some of our grocery stores sell the Easy Pass that you can use on the toll roads, like on a
at the service desk.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And the transponder was like $13, but then you have to activate it. Well, I'll go to activate it, and it says I can use it in state in 24 hours, but I can't use it out of state for 48, which would be well after I want to be in Pennsylvania on Friday. So we'll see if it actually works. I did.
Oh, it's, yeah. You know what? I don't think you're going to have a problem.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you're going to have a problem. No, I Yeah, I got.
I won't call them direct in case, but either way, I guess they'll just charge me on the plate.
Yeah, when the first one I got was when we went out to Ohio Linux Fest. They had them in a vending machine at the rest stop.
See, and I wish they would have had that because, I went over last night and I just missed the service desk at the Giant Eagle.
Oh yeah.
So I'm like, I'll go over there tomorrow. And I went over to the first one. Service desk was closed for low staffing.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so I found another Giant Eagle that had them in a bottom there. The only thing I wish is I wish it had something other than like a double stick tape to put on it. I mean, it is like the Velcro style, so I could take it off. And I got a spare set of the pads. So I think I'll probably leave it on until maybe after Southeast Linux Fest because I can use it on the West Virginia Turnpike if I go there. But it seems like all the toll roads are like really jacking up the prices since the pandemic.
I got my second one at Food Lion.
Yep.
All right, we better start the show.
Yep.
Who cares if Joe's not back? We don't have time to wait for him.
Well, I care.
I tell him you said that.
Liar!
No, I do care.
Look at that. Joe caught you in a lie, Joel. He knew. He knew. All right. This is 9:49. Fire it away. Count around, Joe.